it got there. Yes, Lord. More. More. Make sure when God does a miracle for you or does something awesome, come and testify. Let us know. Because each time we hear of something wonderful happening, it gives all of us faith to step up and go, I'm grabbing that for me too. Yeah. We're going to begin in Hebrews 6, 9. Praise Jesus. I am excited about today. What I want to do is I want to share about hope again. I want to share about its place of hope, patience, and faith, and coming into completion, being finished, breaking through. I want to share a little teaching, Hebrews 6, Hebrews 10. Then I want to talk about a lady who overcame against all odds. And then I want to talk about a guy who was able to turn a sinking ship into a rescue mission of total liberty. Then we want to come, and I believe the Lord wants to bring breakthrough where we have been struggling or contending for breakthrough. Because we're really in a season of intention, of heaven's intentionality to break into our world, awakening hope, and getting it to be not just something that helps us feel better for the moment, but bring that which we see into the from the unseen into the seen. This Wednesday, I'm going to teach on navigating your future through your promises. So if this stirs, we'll get more technical on really learning to hold our place and to move intentionally with it. But let's begin by just a little teaching on hope. But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. So God knows our service. God knows our life. God knows what we've given, what we've lost, what we've done. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. One thing we've learned in the last couple of weeks is that hope is measured at the end, not the beginning. So if God is going to look at my hope, he wants to see it in the fullness that it began at the very end. So that means my vision for me is that when I'm dying, I will be more expectant, more excited, more hopeful than I've ever been my entire life. Then I think my papa will say, hey, come on in, son. I love your hope holding because that's what made you my house to dwell in. But that's a whole nother teaching. So that we not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So faith and patience. Patience is that cheerful endurance. And in this case, it's the long-spirited, or what we often refer to as the word long-suffering. So between the promise that releases hope and the faith that brings it into the now, we will be required to operate with patience. Patience, cheerful endurance, and a long-spirited carrying ourselves through not just days and weeks and months, but sometimes years, even decades. But that we can follow those who've done it before. Imitate those. So when God made a promise to Abraham, and here we go. When God wants to make an example, he goes to Abraham. Because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. God communicates your destiny and my destiny through promise. If God wants to reveal who he is to you or me, he comes and he reveals by his presence and with a promise. The promise is the seed. Just as a man and a woman, a husband and wife come together in intimacy, in presence, it is the seed of the man that is conceived in the woman that makes us a child. That promise coming to us is God's seed. It's his sperm, and his word comes in us, and we receive it. And he makes it as much as he can. He wants us to know that if he said it, it's going to be done. That's why he says, if I make a promise, I promise by myself, surely blessing, I will bless you and multiply, and I'll multiply you. And so after that, he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. So Abraham is on a long journey, and we won't talk about his life today, but his journey took him decades to see fulfillment of what God said. And the promise that he speaks will keep growing in depth and width and breadth and substance and value. So he doesn't just, he's not all over the map with promises. He's kind of got a promise that's leading you into a direction. Because you and I were known by God in Christ before the world began. We're not an accident. I don't care how you got on the planet, you are not an accident. There's no such thing in heaven as an unwanted pregnancy or an illegitimate birth. No such thing in heaven. All have been brought here on purpose for destiny that was decided in Christ before the foundation of the world. And not only was it decided, but you were predestined, given somewhat of a time scope and boundaries to come into that destiny. And the way we do is in the journey, we hear the voice of God call us. So the calling is something we're hearing God and we're responding to. Then we move from inside that calling, we recognize Jesus is my justification. So however well I handle my stuff, it ultimately is what Jesus did that guarantees the outcome of my future. It's by grace and not by works. And then, not only am I justified, but I've been glorified. And that means that the end has already been decided. So let's just thank the Lord for a moment that our end has already been decided. Lord, we thank you that you have decided our future. And it doesn't matter where we are and whatever storm of life we're in. We praise you that our victory is assured, that we are overcomers. That you said there's only one way you know to lead us, and that is in triumph. So, Lord, we thank you that we're in triumph, whether it looks like it or not, feels like it or not. We are in triumph because of Jesus Christ. And we lay hold of that and stir it up and get a hold of it right now, because that's what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. For men indeed swear by greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them the end of all dispute. And so God determined to assure more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. That by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. Hope will always be the part of us that keeps our salvation fresh. We're saved in hope. And hope that is seen is no longer hope. Brian did an excellent message on this next verse. And Brian, great job, because you are a living example of someone that just keeps letting Jesus pull you into the future, no matter what the present is or the past. He just keeps pulling you in, and you're honest about it, and it's a strong, encouraging word to all of us. And he taught us that Jesus is our hope. Boil it all the way down, it's Jesus. He is our hope. Meet him, and you'll have met hope. But the hope is an anchor for the soul, because it's our soul that the battle's over. Your mind, your will, your emotion. That's where you're warred over. That's what you struggle with in the day, to feel good, to feel confident, to have a sense of expectancy. But this anchor for our soul is sure, steadfast, and enters the presence behind the veil. So the hope of God is couples with the presence of God, which is why Romans 4 says that in God's presence, he gives life to the dead and calls things that don't exist as though they do, because God is just massively alive with possibility. For where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus having become the high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. So let's go to Hebrews 10:19. So this hope that is given to us, initiated by the voice of God in the presence of God, it grows over time, more words are added, more promise grows, is something which we can find great strength and refuge and a place of protection inside the presence behind the veil. It's an anchor. So Hebrews 10:19, and this is what I teach our Father's Heart, and we're going to get a chance to do it for you on July 7th. All you who are 40 plus, I want to spend 5 weeks with you and establish you in these truths that are just revolutionary. But we teach this with the Father's Hearts. Therefore, brethren, you enter through the boldness of the blood of Jesus, and then by a new and living way which he consecrated for us, that is the veil of his flesh. So the way I access Jesus every day is by the blood that speaks better than the blood of Abel, makes me forgiven, makes me confident, remits my sins, transfers me out of the kingdom of darkness, washes my conscience, makes me whole and complete and fresh. And through the veil of his flesh, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension, his intercession. And through the process of just in by faith stepping through that truth of the blood and the veil, I find myself standing face to face with my Father in the Holy of Holies. And so can you. There's no merit on my part other than faith in what he did. I come the same way on a good day as I do on a bad day. In fact, I've tested it that bad days almost make it easier. Because the bad day means that I really have no merit. So I'm just concentrating on Jesus. You know, you think, it's kind of like you're thinking, how long can I go without sinning? And then, you know, you're just kind of getting self-conscious instead of God-conscious. We have a high priest, that's Jesus, and he's standing there. He makes intercession by agreeing with the promises that he made to us. You see, he initiates a promise to release an inheritance, and the inheritance is what he's standing before the Father saying, this is going to be just as I said, because how I bring anything to pass is I say it first. So I'm in agreement with you, Father, that what I accomplished on the cross and through my resurrection, my ascension, here I am in intercession, standing in your presence, that everything that you accomplish in me for Steve, that I've spoken to Steve, I'm in agreement it's going to happen. Meanwhile, Steve's going like this, swimming down like a fish all over the earth, you know, wondering where he's going to be. But he says, I don't care where he is today because I am in agreement that what I accomplished on the cross through my burial, my death, my resurrection, my ascension, my standing before you, is that what I have spoken will come to pass. Meanwhile, Steve is swimming all around the world wondering what's happened to him. And finally, one day, Steve just decides, you know, I think I'm just going to agree with what God said about me. And he starts to fellowship and say, you know, I believe that what you said, you will bring to pass. And so this relationship, by coming into God's presence, we draw near, we have a true heart, we're honest about ourselves. I love telling God who I am in his presence because I can't be kicked out. I can't kick me out. He said, what do you do? You mean you? I'm here because of the blood. I'm here through the veil. So now I can be honest. I'm not needing to try to help, you know, that whole thing is wiped away. It's awesome. And meanwhile, the heart gets sprinkled clean, the body gets washed with water, the word comes alive again, and then we get to hold fast the confession of our hope. This is that fun in the presence. I fled for refuge. Here I am again. I am holding fast the confession of my hope. What you said to me is true. It's possible. It's going to happen. I'm not going to waver. To hold fast means to hold something down and make it stable. To waver is to teeter and to begin to tilt like a fence falling down. This is my boundary. These are my enforceable boundaries. Hope is enforceable. This is my future. I don't care what's going on around me or outside, but in this place, I am going to agree and hold fast this confession. And it says, why? Because he's faithful. So he's faithful. So that's the anchor now we're holding to. So we jump ahead to about verse 28. Now I keep going to go 30. I can't flip my Bible. Go to 32. Yeah, that's a good one. So there, the exhortation now to hold that hope and not lose it is here. But recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, when you saw the light, you came to faith, you came to understand, you endured a great struggle with sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle, both by reproaches, tribulations, partly while you became companions of those who were so treated, for you had compassion on me and my chains, you joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has a great reward. Evidently, faith in endurance gives us the ability to be mistreated and ill-treated and have reproaches, tribulations, and loss and see it as a gain. See it as what I've lost right here, I have a better reward. It's coming. Amen. A shifting. It's so powerful. But let's be honest. How long do we hold that attitude? For a week? 5 minutes? Okay. You know, it's not something that we're going around going, you know what, can I tell you about what I lost this week? You know how I got wrong this week? It was so great. It was so awesome. I had evil done to me. Oh, this is so awesome. Now I can let good come this way. Because we're not conscious of this place we're holding, we're trying to stop the thing from happening. So we're in a preservation gospel, not a resurrection gospel. So he goes on, he says, but you have need of endurance. Oh, dude, would you stop with this endurance thing? You need endurance. You need to get happy. Get happy and be strong. And because you, after you've done the will of God, you'll receive the promise. What's the will of God? Well, Jesus answered and said, the will of God is to believe on him whom he sent. So stay in agreement. Stay in faith. For yet a little while, he who's coming will come and not tarry. So every one of us, with what is inside of us, been spoken to us, should have an expectancy that it's closer today than it was yesterday. I'm having an expectancy that he's about to come. He's not going to tarry. When he comes, he won't tarry. So that means that it won't be any more delay when he comes, which is a quotation of Hebrews where we talk about the vision. Though it will tarry, it will come. So it tells me that Jesus is really hope. He's all about hope, all about the future, all about, come on, come on, come on. Stay with me. Don't let go of this. Stay with me, Steve. Don't back out. Don't let go. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, see, I've done this hundreds of times, sometimes for a long periods of times, all the while worshiping God, serving God, doing the best I knew how to do for God. My soul has no pleasure now. I draw back. You kind of, it's just too hard. It's too painful. It's too difficult. I can't reconcile stuff. I don't know how to sort this out. I'm just going to start backing. Just going to go to the back of the crowd so I'm not right there. The first one to respond, the first one to jump up. Let somebody else be the first responders for a while. And you kind of back out. You back away. And he says, God just goes, oh, Steve, come on. I didn't make you to be this. You know, it's like the song that Diana was singing. You know, we're here. We want to have this experience. We want it to be exciting, exhilarating, twirling. I go, that always has to be written by a young person. Because they have no clue what they're about to experience. But you know what? I believe that that's how we're supposed to sing when we're old. Come on, let's have something new. Oh, because he loves that kind of trust. He loves that expectancy. But we're not those who draw back to perdition. See, the problem when I draw back, I back into the devil. I back into his playground, his ability to capture me, arrest me, harass me, distress me. And it costs me more than it would have had I just ran forward. But those who believe. And what are we going to save if we keep our faith alive? Our souls. That should help you. Yeah, thank you. Our souls. I was looking for the echo. Your spirit man saved when you got born again. Your soul's in a mess. And your soul is being saved. And the outcome of faith is the saving of our souls. It's a great study. You should do it. It'll help you out. That's where the war is. So now let's talk about two people. Go with me to Luke 18. There's a pretty old lady. She had a trouble, and that was that she had been unjustly treated by someone in some way. She had been brought under litigation. And she'd been forced to put into a payment pattern or something, whatever she had lost. It was horrific and beyond just. And so she, Luke 18, verse 1. Jesus decided he wanted to teach us a story. He spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Remember we said, I think it's Proverbs 12, I could pull up my phone, but that hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when a desire realized, it's a tree of life. You see, because when your heart, when you lose heart, is because you've lost hope, and you start to disconnect yourself from the fervency you were holding. And some of it has to be because a lot of the beginning of hope is attached to strength of man and willfulness of man and resource of man, and that will fail, so you have to conclude that that didn't work. Until you shift back and go, well, even though it didn't work when I tried it, doesn't mean it won't work when God does it. So I'm going to reconnect back to hope, but it's all about what God's going to do, not about me. Amen. So he's trying to teach him, you know, your prayers, every exhortation of Jesus to pray was taught by a negative. Gives you an idea that prayer doesn't necessarily produce what you expect it to do immediately. If anything, it creates discouragement when first embarked. So he says, I want you to always keep praying. So here, let me tell you the story. There was a certain city, in a certain city, a judge. He didn't fear God, and nor did he regard man. Now, there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. Avenge me of my adversary, O King James says. And he would not for a while. But afterward, he said to himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. Shall not God avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? So let's get some pictures on this. Okay, a lot of you have traveled with the Lord for some time. If you've gone more than 2 years, you qualify for this. It will come to a place in your obtaining the promise that it will be between you and God alone. And it will be the most rewarding season because all the other limitations will no longer be limitations. And there'll be an unlimited opportunity in front of you. This woman just wouldn't stop. This was a picture of hope that there is a just God who wants to avenge us of our adversary and wants to deal with our troubles. It is right for us to come and say to God, deal with this. I need this dealt with. Why? Because he told us we can't. We're not to avenge ourselves. We're supposed to find our enemy on the way. We need to feed him. We need to be good to those. We need to love those who, you know, our enemies. We need to do good to those who hate us. So he's told us, that's not your department. That's my department. But you can come to me and say, come on, I need this thing to turn the way it needs to turn. Hope is enforceable. You can say, devil, let your hands off my stuff. I got an inheritance. I got a promise. This is what God gave me, and it's going to come to pass. So let you, come on. Now it says, he will answer them speedily, though he bears long with them. Next verse, like 5, 6. Though he, keep going, number 7. It's so fun to flip with the Bible. Kim, you're so good. Though he cry out, though he bears long with them. You know what that word is? Long suffering. Here's the deal. Let's just be brutally honest. You're asking for vengeance from your enemy. God says, you know what, I'm going to do that, but give me another day because I'd like to see him get saved instead. But I want you to keep your faith on strong. Okay, keep your faith on. All right, I'm going to avenge you of your enemies, but I'm going to wait another day because I just want to get them saved. Yeah, no, you're praying that ISIS be wiped off the planet? No, you know, that probably may happen, but I think I'd like to save the whole group. Anybody takers for that? No, I'm so angry with ISIS. I want our government done. No. Let's, you know, just hold that thought for a minute. I'm just going to go another day, just a little more time, because long-suffering is salvation. If salvation starts to touch anything, it extends time. It extends opportunity, extends what is obviously going to a conclusion. It says, I don't like that conclusion, so we'll give you more time for a better one. And thank you, Jesus, he does that. Because there's somebody in your life that wished you had died before you got saved. When I got saved in high school, after high school, 19, there are people that would meet on the way, and they go, you know, I knew you in high school, and I thought you were the one person that could never get saved. And I used to think, praise God, it wasn't your faith that got me here. See, God, once you get big, guys, let me tell you another story. And I won't take you time because we'd have to go all the way into the book of Acts, probably about chapter 14. I'll talk about it more in length on Sunday or Wednesday. Sunday's going to even be a better message. Oh, you don't want to miss next Sunday. Who's your who is Jesus, your master or husband? Oh, that's going to be good. But the Apostle Paul got a dream, and he wanted to go to Rome. He felt in his spirit that he was supposed to go to Rome. And on his way to Rome, he was going to stop in Jerusalem to bring an offering, because that was something he had seen in his early apostleship. In the days of the hood, back in Antioch, he found that there was something supernatural about Jerusalem and connecting there, even though he was called to the Gentiles. It's like when we bring Cammie and I 2 weeks from now in the evening, 7 o'clock, we're going to get on an airplane, go to Israel for four days so that we can bring gifts, your gifts. We can sow back into Greg and Jan. We can reach out to touch the nation, to help on Aliyah, just because there's something supernatural when you do that. And I'm expectant on the next Sunday when we get back, we're going to have something tangible to return. Because that's what happened to Paul. They had a worldwide missionary movement begin after he returned from Jerusalem. And so now he's on his, after his second journey, he's on his third mission journey, and he's collecting money to bring to Jerusalem. And he starts to write the book of Romans. And he says, I'm on my way this time. I'm going to stop at Jerusalem, and I'm going to get to Rome. I've just got to get there. You've been on my heart. You're part of my dream. See, you've got dreams like that. You've got, you know, they call it the bucket list, right?
Yeah.
It's a bucket list. What a dumb It's your future. It's your faith. It's your destiny. It's what you were made to be. It's why you have a dream to be there. And Paul had a dream to go to Rome. So he gets in Jerusalem, and it gets delayed. He arrives there. He starts to function in with a group of guys. They shave their head. They're trying to honor the law and the temple. Instead, it's misinterpreted as defiling it, and he finds himself arrested, almost killed. The next morning, he stands in front of the Sanhedrin, and he's under pressure because they all want to, you know, destroy him, and he's trying to say, guys, I didn't do any of the things you say. And he decides that there's a group of Pharisees and a group of Sadducees, and he claims himself a son of a Pharisee, which he was, and that he was in trial for the hope of the resurrection. And that just tears the place apart. You know, he gets almost killed again. And that night while he's sleeping, or the next night, so goes to bed going, whoa, what did I do? I don't know if that was a really good idea. Jesus stands in front of him and says, Paul, you got to go to Rome. You got to stand in front of Caesar. Be of good cheer. See, I don't care how you got where you are, and it may be really bad. If Jesus shows up, you can say, smile. We got it. We got it. Don't be afraid. Cheer up. We got it. You've got to fulfill your destiny. So the next morning, he's got a good word. The Sanhedrin get together, and they say, 40 men come and say, you know what we want to do? Call him back. Just call the commander, tell him you want to talk to Paul a little more intensely. And while he's on his way from the prison, the guardhouse, to where you're going to have the meeting, we'll kill him. In fact, we've entered a vow not to eat until we kill him. So fortunately, that is heard by one of Paul's nephews, and he has that shared with the commander. The commander picks up Paul and takes him down to Caesarea on the coast. Now, 6 days later, here comes Ananias, the high priest, with his council, and they just try to just again force Paul's extradition back into Jerusalem. They're calling, accusing him, and Paul just, you know, is telling the witness and testimony of his life, and basically it's stalled. For the next 2 years, Paul sits in a prison house with freedom of people coming and going. He's with Felix. Felix enjoys his conversation, and he's actually hoping for money to be given by Paul or his companions to get him out. And at the end of 2 years, Felix retires, and a new King Festus comes in, or new ruler. And Felix wants to do the Jews a favor, so he leaves Paul inside of prison, kind of like the Guantanamo Bay, right? We don't need to judge you right now. Don't get all political on me. But it's in real life. Things like that still happen. We hold, you're in a holding. Now, the point is, I want to get to is you're in some of those holdings. And you need to get a hold of that and get the victory. because it isn't going to get begotten by anyone else but you. And you can get it. Now, 2 years later, Ananias, the new king, leader, ruler, governor, Festus, I believe, goes up to Jerusalem, and the high priests say, "Hey, we've got this same guy. We need you to do something. Would you bring him up to Jerusalem?" Meanwhile, the plot to kill Paul has been reactivated, and they said, "Just get him up to Jerusalem. On the way, we'll kill him." So the Roman thought, which is a thank God for things that have been taught and are instilled in our culture to this day. He says, it's not for the Roman culture to hand over an accused man before he has a chance to answer to his accusers face to face. You come down here. So they do, and they make this big deal, and they say, come, and Festus trying to, you know, resolve the conflict says, "Paul, will you be willing to go up to Jerusalem?" And whether Paul is thinking these guys never stop what they're trying to do, and I'm not going up there, whatever, he chose, I'm not going into religion, I'll end up in the political wing. And says, I appeal to Caesar. Let me go to Rome instead. That's the direction I was headed in anyway. Let's get me on to Rome. And so that's decided. He gets on a boat, and the boat begins to move up and down the Mediterranean. We've all had our attention drawn to the Mediterranean because of the Egyptian air, the airplane that came out and fell out of the sky. And there he's, though, they're moving, they come by Crete, they get, it's starting to turn past the season to sail, because what they're entering into now is the season after the fast, so that means it's after Yom Kippur. So it's September, October, and it's starting to be difficult to sail, and they get to their place to Fair Havens, and when they land in Fair Havens, Paul by the Spirit says, "Guys, don't leave here. We need to stay here, weather the winter, because I perceive that if we go, we're going to end up costing our lives, the ship, everything. It's going to all go down." But because the owner of the ship and the one who was running the ship didn't like the idea of staying there, wasn't that good of a place to rest, they thought they'd try to get around the island, get to a south-facing beach, and get out of the storm, or, you know, winter there. The next day, it's sunny, it's bright, it's warm. South wind blows. It's like, yeah, I'm sure we've got God's purpose. They get up, they pull anchor, they're into the sea, and as soon as they're into the sea, a storm starts. And it's fierce. It's one of the northeasterly winds. It's just coming with fierceness. And it starts plummeting them. And they get around someplace, a part of an island to protect themselves, but it's not working. They feel like the ship's going to be torn. So they get back into sea, and finally they lose control of it. That storm is so great, they can't steer the ship. They just let it be driven by the wind. And it says in Acts 27 that they finally, all hope of being saved was gradually, completely lost. So they're 14 days into this horrific storm. And some of you are in those storms. Maybe that storm's been 14 years. Really doesn't matter, because when you lose hope, you lose the ability to steer your ship, and you're just driven by circumstances, and how can I change anything? What does it matter? Oh, gosh. But there's one man on that ship. His name is Paul. I like to imagine he's down deck inside, and during this whole time, he's been just saying, "Father, Father, this is not how you told me I was going to be. There's no Caesar here. I'm supposed to see Caesar. How can I die here? I haven't seen Caesar." You see, if you have a promise, you can't die. Do you understand that? If you have a prophecy, that means there's a future. You see, you understand, you've got to take hold. This is how we war our warfare, is the prophecies, the promises. They're the same thing. A promise, a prophecy, is usually the only difference is who gave it to you. Just by the Spirit and by your reading and by your listening, or somebody else by the Spirit, by their listening, by their speaking, you have a sound. So Paul just starts going in there, and he has an encounter. Because always in the presence of God, God will recalibrate everything back to the immediate moment and bring it into the future for the next moment. And so an angel shows up that night and says, "Paul, don't be afraid. You must go to Rome." Paul got the whole ship out of a storm because he carried a promise. Now, come on now. Your company, you think it's going down. Why don't you be the one with a promise that says, that company can't go down because I've got a promise and I got a fulfillment. You see, we don't understand the power of this. So the angel says, you know what? You have to go to Rome. And guess what? God has granted you a favor. Everybody's sailing with you. They're going to live. That's the way we ought to be. That's the way we ought to be. No judgment. No get the rest of the kids. Let them all die. They wouldn't listen to me. I don't want them to get to have an opportunity. Now Paul says, come on. I want the whole group. I want the whole ship. I want the ship. It's all full of prisoners, Roman prisoners. I want them all saved. And he says, yep, you got them all. The ship's going to go aground. You're going to lose the ship, but everybody will be saved. And so they start that journey with hope because there starts to feel some, you know, there's some depth is shrinking underneath the ship, and they feel like they're getting close to ground. And then they put four anchors on the back, the stern. Thank you. I learned all this last service. Four anchors at the stern, and the sailors are going to put some anchors up in the front, thinking that they can, the bow, but they say the prow, which is even another more focused. I looked that up in the dictionary, all while you were speaking. Aren't you glad for the smartphones, man, that you can do so much? Checking out the concordance. I mean, don't stay in the Bible realm, I don't care. You got to do what you got to do. But when you start hearing God and you want to get a little more deeper, that concordance is powerful. And the dictionary, if you're like me, English challenge, that's very indispensable. But so they're doing, and Paul says, you guys, if those guys, see, the sailors weren't really going to put the anchors in the front. They were going to get on the boat and take off and leave everybody to drown. And Paul said to the centurion, who wouldn't listen to him in Fair Havens, unless they stay on the ship, they're all lost. The sailor went and cut those little life jacket boats and just let them fall into the sea and said, we're all in this because we're listening to the man. See, I want to tell you something. There are some people who won't listen to you and give you a fair hearing. But if you come long enough, they'll give you what you want. And there are some people that won't listen to you in the fair havens, but get in a big enough storm and they'll listen to you. All you got to have is the voice of God and the word of God and the promise of God of deliverance, not of judgment. The judgment is to protect people from going where they're going. But once they're there, they don't need to hear, oh, I told you. Well, Paul did actually say that. He said, I told you guys. But he immediately said, hey, we've got victory. We've got victory. And that promise, he got delivered because he had a promise. And because he get a hold of God. And because once he heard the Lord in a fresh moment. See, what we're going to do right now is I want to ask if you are experiencing an impossible situation to which you're like that feeling of, I don't know how to get out of this storm, my man. I want you to come. I want to have you come forward because I believe there is a supernatural anointing of salvation for us, deliverance, breakthrough, wherever you are in. And if you're standing strong, then you're going to be part of the prayer team. But if you are currently feel like the Apostle Paul or like the widow and you don't know how to navigate from here to the completion of what once you heard and knew for sure, I want you to come up. Just right now, because I want to pray for you. I want to release sound. I want to release, the Holy Spirit wants to release hope, supernatural hope. Praise you, Jesus. So let's just begin to praise the Lord Jesus. Begin to just turn your attention to Jesus. He has your promise, hasn't lost him. Oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Come on. There's healing in this room. There's all it takes is the voice of God, the word of God coming alive. What I saw was that Jesus' sound of salvation would come alive again for each and every one. Salvation includes our eyes opening to the glory of God. So Paul was in the bottom of a ship and everyone had lost hope, but he saw an angel and he got all his hope fully recalibrated. Glory opens our eyes to see. And when we see, we can turn from whatever is telling us we have no hope. So God is going to open our eyes so we can see, so we can turn, so we can then receive forgiveness, freedom, recalibration, and we can receive our inheritance again. So let's just worship for a moment. Can we have some worship up here? Just turn your heart toward the Lord. You're in that, isolate yourself from everything, even in the storm you're in, and behold Jesus. The Bible says that we behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Behold the glory of God. Don't have to be quiet, just but behold him. We behold your glory. Every one of us is going to get the victory individually that will carry others with us into the victory. Hallelujah. Shabba-ba-ba-ba. Wherever you are, whatever you're stuck in, God's victory for you will give the victory to the rest of everyone. Come on. We worship you. We praise you. We praise you. We worship you. We worship you. I see you. Lord, open my eyes. Just say that. Lord, open my eyes. Open my eyes to see Jesus. I want to see you, Jesus. Right now, in this moment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not only do I want to see you, Lord, I want to hear your voice again. I want to hear you speak over my life, my promise. Now, right now, I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to remind us, each one of us, of a promise that he's made to us that would become the reason we can't die in the situation we're in. The thing that is yet to be fulfilled that once you knew so clearly was to be your future. Ask the Lord, Holy Spirit, speak to me. Remind me of what Jesus said. Remind me of the visions, the hopes, the dreams, the aspirations, the plans. Show it to me again. Make it alive. Come on, let him do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Could be when you were a teenager, all of a sudden something comes back to you. When you were young, when you were old, and now it's let it come. Let the word of the Lord come to you in the face of Jesus Christ. And say it's totally outside of the realm you're in, but it's still the word of the Lord over your life. Then say, Lord, it's not impossible for you to bring it to pass. You can change anything. Just give him opportunity. Just give him some praise on this. Begin to acknowledge it. He is able. He can do it. Why not? Nations. He put a young man in a prison and left him there to be forgotten until he was 30 to change the course of the entire world. So why would he not use the same with us today? Let that sound come. Shabba-da-ba-ba-ba-ba. We worship you. Just worship him and pull into his presence and listen for his voice. Let his promise come back alive in you. Come on, it's for you. He has a promise over your life.
Renew the hope inside my heart.
Yes, Lord. Come on. We're going to do some business in a moment. Get your word from the Lord right now. Shabbat. Shame on.
Awaken my soul.
Come on. All that he said, all that he planned, all that he dreamed.
Awaken my soul. Renew the hope inside my heart.
Come on.
Let me believe. Renew the hope inside my heart.
Come on, Holy Spirit, you can do it. Yeah. Renew the hope. Come on, wake it up.
My soul.
Yes, Lord. Where we've drawn back, Lord, we're returning to that point of hope and endurance.
Wake in my soul.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
I believe.
Come on.
What you've said to me, God.
Yes, Lord.
I believe.
Agree. Press in, yes. Inside, behind the veil on the other side in the presence of him. He's got a whole other story than the one you've been having to live with. It's coming back alive.
Renew the hope inside.
let it be, let it be.
Renew the hope inside my heart.
Renew it, Lord.
God. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation.
Come on. Wake it up.
Restore unto me the joy of my salvation.
Come on.
Restore unto me the joy of my salvation.
Yeah, do it, Lord.
Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. For you are faithful. You will complete what you have started in me. Yes, you will complete what you have started in me.
Yeah.
You will complete what you have started.
Yes, Lord.
You will complete what you have started in.
Come on, declare it.
So let hope arise. 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 You will complete what you have started in me. You will complete what you have started. You will complete what you have started in me. You will complete what you have started in me. So let hope arise. Let hope arise.
Let it rise.
Let hope arise. Let hope arise. Let hope arise. Let hope arise.
Now I want you to say to the Lord what you're experiencing from Him right now. Say out loud what you're hearing Him say, or describe the hope that you're feeling coming back on you. And agree with Him with your mouth, just loud enough that you can hear yourself telling the Lord, I'm hearing you say, you will fulfill. I'm going to stand in front of. I will complete this assignment. How? Give it a name. Give it a place. Give it a destiny. Declare it. Just say it out loud and thank Him for it, because the next thing is we're going to believe it will be done for us like it's been spoken to us. We're going to believe that it will be done for us just as it was told us. So we've got to hear Him tell us something. So start with whatever little you've heard. Describe an emotion. Describe a hopeful feeling. Describe a pleasant sense. Describe a description. Give it a name. Call it up. Call it forward. Prophesy. Shadaru. Yes, Lord, you are able. You are able. You are able to perform your promises. You are able.
Now with promises, nothing can keep me from your promises. Nothing can keep me from your promises.
Yes, Lord.
Nothing can
That's
keep me from your promises.
The sound of worship.
Nothing can keep me from your promises.
Jesus declaring that.
Nothing can keep
Angels
me from
singing
your
with
promises.
Us.
Nothing can keep you from my promises. Nothing can keep you from my promises.
Yes.
Nothing can keep you
yes.
from my promises.
Yes. Come on, agree.
Nothing can keep you from my promises. Nothing can keep me from my promises. Nothing can keep me from my promises. Nothing will keep me from my promises. Say yes and amen. Say yes and amen. keep you from my promises. Nothing can keep you from my promises. Nothing can keep me from my promises. They are yes and amen. They are yes and amen. They are yes and amen.
Now tell the Lord, I agree with your word. I agree. I believe it will be as you've said. I agree. I agree with your word. I believe it will be as you said. As you said.
As you said. I believe, Lord.
Now just open your spirit, your mind and your soul for a moment of encouragement as the Lord paints a new future. A new scenario, a new outcome, hopeful thoughts and feelings, a new storyline, changing the end of the movie. He's the writer, he's the producer, he's the director, he's the star of the movie. We're just co-stars, hallelujah, but we get the star alongside Jesus. And he's changing from the course of that, oh no, it's all lost, to, oh, and now it all is returned and far beyond what it was and hoped for. Lord in heaven, in the name of Jesus, we let go of concrete thinking to go fluidly into the unlimited eternal opportunity of heaven. And we say yes now. Yes. Yes to what you're doing. Yes to your experience. Yes to the hope. Yes to the vision. Yes to your movement. Yes, Lord. And just hold up your hands. Let the Holy Spirit fill us. Father, as we leave here, we're not leaving you. We want the Holy Spirit to fill us like a brand new baptism. Come on, fill us up, Holy Spirit. We want to go home with you singing and dancing over us. Yes, we say yes. Again.
We say yes.
Yeah.
We say yes to your promises. We
say yes. Here he comes. More,
God,
Lord.
We say yes. We say yes. Yes and amen.
Yes and amen.
We say yes. Yes and amen. We say yes. Yes and amen. We say yes. Yes and amen.
Yes, yes, yes.
For your glory, I will do anything.
You can.
Just to see you.
Yes, Lord.
To behold you as my King.
Now, Father.
For your glory.
Yes, Lord. For your glory.
I will do anything just to see you. To behold you as my King.
Now, collect yourself before we leave here. Hope you can join in Jacob's Dream Fair, off to your travels, whatever is in front of you. Collect the experience. Collect the sound. Collect the feelings. Collect the thoughts, the scriptures, the promises. Because they're going to be a place to go visit again and carry with you. These are not just to enjoy while you're in church. They're to be carried into your day. They are your future. They're the navigating system now. So, Lord, look upon us. Seal us. Holy Spirit, secure us and enlarge now our heart that we might run in these new commandments, these new declarations of future and victory and triumph. Let us join hearts in this and gather and follow you in this new, a renewed adventure, this renewed adventure. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, secure this. In the name of Jesus, these promises are mine. In the name of Jesus, I'm going home with what God gave me. I'm going to see what God gave me completed. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Every one of you carrying nations, don't let go. Your whole ship's going to get saved. Everyone sailing with me is coming in. Everyone is going to come into this victory. In the name of Jesus. All right, just give them a big shout of victory. Thank you. Yes, God. Yes, Lord. You did it. You made it happen. All right, God bless you. You may go into your day. Just Jacob's Dream Fair. Have a wonderful week. We'll practice more of this on Wednesday.